Leonard Bernstein was the director of the New York Philharmonic for many years. And he was asked the question, what is the most difficult instrument in your orchestra to play? His answer, the second fiddle. I can get plenty of first violinists, but to find someone who can play the second fiddle with enthusiasm, that's a problem. And if we have no second fiddle, we have no harmony. The definition of second fiddle is very simple. Playing second fiddle, to play a supporting or a minor role, which all of us do at times. It might be in the family. It might be in business, in school, right? In the church. Okay? To play a supporting or minor role in relation to someone else. Tired of playing second fiddle, she resigned and started her own company. In an orchestra, the position of second violinist, fiddle is not as glamorous as that of the first violinist. To play a supportive role, to be the assistant, to be the vice, okay? To be second, not the head honcho. To be submissive, playing second fiddle. The silver screen is filled with sidekicks who played second fiddle. Robin played second fiddle to Batman. Dr. Watson played second fiddle to Sherlock Holmes. Tonto played second fiddle to the Lone Ranger. Even Barney Rubble, okay, played second fiddle to Fred Flintstone. Samwise Ganges played second fiddle to Frodo Baggins. And the donkey played second fiddle to Shrek. Right? In the world of sports, believe it or not, Lou Gehrig, the great Lou Gehrig, Hall of Famer, he played all his life in the shadow of the great Babe Ruth. Okay? He played second fiddle. We're going to see how he could do that. In politics, Vice President Pence plays second fiddle to Donald Trump. In the scripture, there are many who played second fiddle. Aaron and Joshua played second fiddle to Moses. Shem, Ham, and Japheth played second fiddle to their father Noah, because in Hebrews, where it talks about the person who built the ark, it was Noah who built the ark. And certainly, his sons had a part of it, but Noah got the credit. That usually happens to the first fiddler, to the first violinist. They get the applause. They get the honors. Lot played second fiddle to Abraham. Jonathan played second fiddle to David. The brothers played second fiddle to Joseph. And Barnabas played second fiddle to the apostle Paul. In our lives, there comes a time when we have to play a supportive role. When we don't get the applause. When we don't get the recognition, it goes to someone else. But by the grace of God, we can play that supportive role because, as Leonard Bernstein said, there'd be no harmony without second fiddle. It is the most difficult position to play. I know for 29 years, I was the assistant pastor to my dad. And it was getting more difficult because I didn't get the opportunity to preach on Sundays very often. And I had to look to God's grace to play second fiddle. Let me take you just to a couple examples in Scripture. Jonathan played second fiddle to David. Jonathan was the heir apparent of his father's throne. And yet, he willingly gave it up. For he saw that God had called David and not him to be the next king. How many princes would readily, gladly, enthusiastically play second fiddle when they were to be the first fiddler, when they were to be the king? Not many would give up their throne, but Jonathan did. This is number one, how we too can play a supportive role, especially when it comes to Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Samuel 18:4, Jonathan removed the robe he was wearing, the princely robe, that very ornate robe, the robe that designated him as the heir apparent. He removed the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. He surrendered. A prince playing second fiddle to a shepherd boy. How is that possible? Number one, 1 Samuel 20:17. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. Number one is love. There are people above you in work. People who are more famous than you. People who have more skills than you. People who have more acclaim than you. I remember traveling to South Korea on one mission trip, and I was with a group of about 30, 40 pastors. And they were asking each other one question. How many people are in your church? That was the question they were asking. And they finally came to me, and I was, you know, a little bit nervous, because another pastor I knew, who only had a small church, he said, oh, I have 1,000. I said, I'm not going to say that. I've got 20 people. Oh, okay, let's go to the next pastor. We have to love God. We have to love those who have more. I've never written a book, never signed an autograph. No one's ever asked me for an autograph. Not that I can remember. We play second fiddle. Our church is in the orchestra, but we're not first fiddlers. But we need love in order to play that part. Wives, you play second fiddle. The Bible says the wife should submit to the husband. Husbands are smiling now all over. Okay, that's second fiddle. Okay. You can play that role beautifully, okay, out of love, okay, for where God has called you. But you know, first, David played second fiddle. He actually played the harp, okay, for Saul and for Jonathan. He started out as a second fiddler. And because he was faithful, God promoted him. So Jonathan and David had mutual love one for another. So it wasn't hard for David to play his harp for Jonathan, and it wasn't difficult for Jonathan to give his armor and his throne to David. Not out of love. The commandments of God are not grievous, and we're filled with the love of God. That's number one. Number two, we look to the New Testament, the story of Barnabas and Saul of Tarsus. You know the story of Saul, how he was converted on the road to Damascus. And for a time, when the Bible actually lists their names together, it's Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas has top billing, not Saul, not the apostle. Though Barnabas is also called an apostle. Barnabas started out playing first fiddle. He was the one that brought Saul, the new convert, to the church and introduced him. And we read of this in Acts 11. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And then in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And again in Acts chapter 13, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, okay, The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Yes, Barnabas had top billing. Paul played second fiddle. In Acts 13:7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. You know, soon after that it changed. Barnabas, who received the spotlight, who played first fiddle, now had to take a back seat to this new convert, Saul of Tarsus. And it changed. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In the next 21 verses, where Paul and Barnabas are mentioned together, 15 of those next 21 times, it's Paul first and then Barnabas. First it was Barnabas, then it was Paul. Now for the majority, 71% of the time, it's Paul and Barnabas. Why was Barnabas able, without complaining, without arguing with God, hey Lord, I brought this man to the church. Why can't I still have top billing? His name gives us the answer. He's the son of consolation. Son of consolation. You ever win a consolation prize? I did when I was in elementary school. We had our rally day or race day, and I came in like 8th or 9th place, and the first place guy got a blue ribbon, and second place runner got a red ribbon, and the third place got a yellow ribbon, and the rest of us got a consolation ribbon. You didn't win, but here's this green or whatever ribbon, okay? Made you feel good. But God is the God of all comfort. He consoles the heart even when we are demoted. Yes, Barnabas, in a sense, was demoted. We had a woman here in church, a young woman many years ago. She was the personal secretary of some executive. And she came to me one day very sad and very grieved and angry. She says, I got demoted. I'm now a switchboard operator. I said, thank God you're being persecuted for Jesus Christ. Oh, they don't know I'm a Christian. I said, well, the devil does. Too bad they don't know you're a Christian. But now let your light shine as a switchboard operator, from personal secretary to switchboard operator. Moses got demoted, right? Moses in Deuteronomy prayed, oh Lord, give me this one thing. I want to bring the people into the promised land. I've led them for so long. I've heard their complaining for so long. Please let me lead them in. No, said God. You can see it, but you won't go in. Go down and encourage Joshua. Okay. Your second fiddler. Okay. And because Joshua was a faithful second fiddler, God elevated him to the position of leading the people in to the promised land. But did Moses complain? No. He went down and he strengthened Joshua. He was demoted. And there will come times in our life when we are demoted. Only by the grace of God can we handle that. 71% of the times afterward, it was Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Saul, or Paul, who played second fiddle, was elevated to first fiddle. I mentioned to you about the great Lou Gehrig, always playing in the shadow of Babe Ruth. And the lifetime statistics, in a sense, prove that Babe Ruth was a better player. He had more hits, more runs scored, better batting average, more lifetime home runs, more lifetime RBIs, more extra base hits, and more stolen bases. I don't really picture Babe Ruth stealing too many bases, but I guess he did, right? He had more stolen bases than Lou Gehrig. Okay. Why was Lou Gehrig able to play? Oh, I don't know if he knew Christ or not, but there's something in his life that's important. Just as love is necessary and being consoled by God when we're not in the limelight, when we're not getting applause, when we're demoted, when we lose things, lose our position, the God of all comfort, the God of all consolation. And thirdly, we see something in Lou Gehrig's life. From the Society of American Baseball Research, we read this. Despite these remarkable numbers, that's second only to Ruth, all his statistics, Gehrig's statistics, Gehrig was still in the Babe's shadow. Accordingly, just as he had always been overshadowed by Ruth, now Gehrig found himself playing second fiddle to a rookie, Joe DiMaggio. So Ruth was getting most of the acclaim, and just as Gehrig was starting to emerge, along comes DiMaggio, and he starts getting all the fanfare. Okay. A marvelous rookie was Joe DiMaggio, no doubt about it, but still a rookie. And we read why Lou Gehrig, of course, Ruth was the boisterous one, the show-off. Gehrig was plain and simple, but here's why. We read this. He was content with playing second fiddle. He was content. I don't have to be a Babe Ruth. I'll do my best with what skills I have, and I can be content to live in someone else's shadow. Contentment. You notice that the answers all start with C. Okay? Compassion is another word for love. Okay? Consolation and comfort. And contentment. Okay? We must be content where God calls us. There's an old saying, bloom where God has planted you. But Lord, I don't want to be in that garden. It's too many weeds. Bloom where God has planted you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the things of the world, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's glory, another man's prosperity, who shall give you that which is your own? And so, Lou Gehrig, along with Ruth and DiMaggio, were inducted into the Hall of Fame. He had his own star as well. So needed to play second fiddle in life, in school, in business, in church, in family, wherever, especially in Christianity. We need compassion, love, for those people that are above us, not envy. Remember Joseph's brothers? When he came to them with his new coat given to him by his father, that they envied him. And then he came with his dreams and said, your sheaves are going to bow to my sheaf. You're going to bow to me someday. And they envied him and they even hated him because they didn't have love for him. Apostle Paul said, Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Joseph was the youngest at that time. Even the father said, your mother and I are going to bow to you. Even he had a hard time. I remember as a young pastor coming on here in 1976, green, wet behind the ears, there were some of the older folks that didn't want to hear me. That's what Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth. They did not want to play second fiddle to a young upstart in the church. You see, when there's compassion in our heart for that young upstart, for that rookie, when God consoles us with the joys of heaven, and remember Moses, who was demoted, you can see the promised land. And what did he see? Dirt roads, mud houses, sticks and stones. But when he looked heavenward, he saw streets of gold. That's consolation. So whatever you lose in this life, the best is yet to come. And then there's contentment. Contentment. Mason Cooley said, those who refuse to play second fiddle may wind up playing no fiddle at all. And that's true. If we refuse that subordinate role, We might be kicked out of the orchestra. I think the whole world has heard of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, right? Famous composer, musician. He started writing symphonies when he was 5 years old. Performed before all the kings of the world, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. But who remembers the second fiddler of his day? What's his name? Ah, okay. What's his first name? Okay, well, you got the last name. Antonio Salieri. He was the court composer in Austria for the king. He lived in the shadow of the great Mozart. He played second fiddle. Most people never heard of him until 1979 when a play was made called Amadeus. And then in 1984, a film was produced, an Academy Award winning Best Picture film, Amadeus. And of course, the film and the book were fictitious account. There was no real rivalry between them as far as people know, though it wasn't always pleasant. And no, Salieri did not have a part in Mozart's death, as some say. But I just want to take you to the movie, even though it was fictitious. In the movie, Antonio Salieri was played by F. Murray Abraham, a disgruntled composer, full of envy and jealousy of all the fame that Mozart had received. And he was seen by a priest to receive his confession of sin. And this is what the movie portrayed. He said, "All I wanted was to sing to God. He gave me that longing and then made me mute. Why tell me that? If he didn't want me to praise him with music, why implant the desire? Like a lust in my body, and then deny me the talents." In real life, God did not deny Salieri any talent. He wrote 37 operas in 3 languages. He was court composer to the King of Austria. And he even taught young musicians like Beethoven, Franz Liszt, and Franz Schubert. He was not denied any talents. But in the movie, he felt that way. Why? Because he compared himself to Mozart. He compared himself to, yes, a more bright star in the firmament, whose name was on everyone's lips. You know, by the way, Amadeus in Latin means the love of God. And when you compare yourself to other people, no matter who they are, you will not really find all the love of God that you need. You will not find all the sympathy and the care and the empathy and the compassion you're looking for. In fact, Mozart wrote letters to his father criticizing Salieri, calling him a trickster. So you wouldn't find that love there. To play second fiddle in life, to play a supportive role, you need compassion, consolation, comfort, contentment, and Christ. You must look to Christ. We must only compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. Say, wait a minute, but Christ is greater than Mozart. Shouldn't I feel more inferior when I compare myself to Christ? Yes, but you will find perfect love in Christ. You will find all the empathy and the sympathy and the pity and the compassion you need when you look to Christ, not to Mozart, not even to the apostles. Paul and Barnabas, there was great tension between them over John Mark, Paul did not want to take him on the mission because he had failed before and the tension was so great they departed. No, even there in the lives of the apostles, you would not find that perfect love, though they were growing. And Paul said, I go after it. I press for that mark of that perfect life in Christ. Do you know why? When we look to Christ, we'll have the grace to endure anything, because Jesus played second fiddle. If you want to know how to play second fiddle, look to someone who's played it perfectly. And that's Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Oh, the reputation goes to the first fiddlers, not those who play second. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave. When he healed people, he was serving them. When he fed them in the wilderness, he was serving them. When he resurrected their dead, he was serving them. When he taught them, he was serving them. Shown beautifully when he washed his disciples' feet and when he went to the cross, he was serving humanity. He was serving his Father. He took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, it's easy to become envious and jealous of those who are more blessed. The poor envy the rich. The old envy the young. The sick envy the healthy. But God calls us into places, and he gives us the grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, he said. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. A concert violinist had a brother who was a bricklayer. One day a woman gushed to the bricklayer, "It must be wonderful to be in a family with such a famous violinist." Then, not wanting to insult the bricklayer, she said, "Of course we don't all have the same talents, and even in a family, some just seem to have more talent than others," saying that the violinist had more talent than the bricklayer. So it would seem, right? The bricklayer said, "You're telling me that violinist brother of mine doesn't know a thing about laying bricks. If he had to build a house himself, he'd be ruined." "If you want to build a house, you don't want a violinist," said Spurgeon. "And if you're going to lead an orchestra, you don't want a bricklayer. No two of us are exactly alike. None of us has every gift and ability. Our responsibility is to exercise the gifts we have, not the ones we wish we had." So in life, we all are called to play a supportive role and maybe not get any recognition at all. I don't think mothers get much recognition, but they probably deserve more recognition than anyone else in the world. Now the mothers are smiling. For your job, for your selflessness, your sacrifices. We must all play second fiddle to someone in our lives. But most importantly, we must play second fiddle to Jesus Christ. He is the captain, we are the crew. He is the general, we are the foot soldiers. He is the master, we are the servants. He is the king, we are his subjects and his citizens. And friends, I tell you, if you can't play second fiddle at home, or at work, or in the church, you can't play second fiddle to Christ. And I just want to end with these words. It's not hard to play second fiddle when God is conducting your orchestra. It is not hard when God is is conducting your life. And if you find it hard to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and people say, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. Oh, it's so hard to obey His word. Oh, it's so hard to be holy. Oh, it's so hard to turn the other cheek. It's so hard. Play second fiddle. Go to the second fiddler himself, Jesus Christ, who was elevated above every other name, lifted up above every other. Why? Because He humbled Himself and became a man. Go to Him. He knows. He can teach you how to be submissive, how to be humble, how to be content in any role God places you in. So let's pray. If you have any questions or comments, again, we won't be having lunch today, but if you have any prayer needs, you want to stay after church and pray, counseling, please let me know. Let's pray. And then we're going to sing a song. Father, we just pray that these words will have some impact upon our lives. We are all called to support one another and to take upon ourselves menial tasks, as Jesus did in washing His disciples' feet, even the feet of Judas. Lord, can we wash the feet of our enemies? Can we lay down our lives for the soldiers who drill nails through our hands and feet? Can we lay down our lives and love the Pharisees who brought false witness against us? It hurts, Lord, when people speak against us. It hurts when they gnash upon us with their teeth. But Lord, we only have one reaction commanded by You, and that is to love. Not to strike back, but to turn that other cheek and to love as You loved us. Oh Lord, may we truly be submissive to Your word, submissive to Your will, so that we can be submissive to others and show them what it is to be a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to do His own will, but the will of His Father. Why do we live, Lord? Why do we get up in the morning? Oh, that it might be to do Your will and not our own. We praise You, Lord, for Your wonderful grace that makes this possible. Work in us now, Lord, by that Spirit of grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to